Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
All right, is anybody here ready for a big word today? Hallelujah. I am. I want you to stand to your feet with me, if you will. I want you to, to pick your Bibles up with you if you want to. We're going to read in Exodus 23. And of course, it will also be on the screen. And as we read through this passage of Scripture, I want you to try to just ponder, just take note of all of the intricate little details and truths of this passage. There's so much truth in here that I could never get through all of it today. But look at this. This is when God is speaking to Israel about going into the Promised Land, one of the times. You know, they're in the wilderness, and God tell them to go in and I'll defeat your enemy. And here's what he said. He said, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way." Well, that struck me. "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice." Now, this is talking about angels here. "Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and the Termites, and the Cellulites, and the..." Y'all really would like that one to be the case, wouldn't you? "God deliver us of the Cellulites, huh? God, drive that one out. Drive that enemy out. And I will cut them off. You shall..." Yeah, that's pretty good for cellulite. He'll cut it off. There you go. "You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we just bring this word to you and ask you, God, please speak through me. Father God, let your word be like a mighty sword coming through my lips, through my mouth, my heart, my mind. Lord God, let it pierce the hearts of every person here. Father, let not one person in attendance today escape, God, the mighty dealings of your Holy Spirit, God. Only you can deal with us in such a way that improves our life, that brings us into the fulfillment of all that we're placed here for. Father God, I ask you to do that. Let your word be like a sword piercing our hearts. Father God, that every person, when they leave this place, they are changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let your glory fill this house now as we speak your word. Let the presence of the Lord fill my brothers and sisters, Lord God, and let them be changed, transformed. And we give you glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody shout a big amen. Amen. You can be seated. All right, are you ready? This is so fascinating to me because, first of all, this statement's just stuck out at me. Think about this. He said, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared." And I begin to ponder this. This is God talking to them about fulfilling what he has called them to do, giving them the place that he has assigned for them or prepared for them. And he said to do that, he said both to keep them in the way. Now watch this. Keep them in the way means, God says, in order to keep you on track, to keep you from not getting sidetracked off into some kind of little thing, tributary in life that you're not supposed to be messing in, wasting your time, nor you keep you on track. And secondly, to bring you into the place I prepared. In other words, to bring you into the fulfillment of all that I've put you on this planet for. That's some pretty big stuff, isn't it? Keep you in the way and to bring you into the place I've prepared. It's fascinating to me. He says, to do that, he said, "I have sent an angel before you." And I thought of that. And you know, the first thought I had was that, you know, in all of our talk as Christians in churchianity today, the church world today, in the modern church world, you hear very little talk about angels. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, there's a lot more talk about angels, it seems, out there, you know, in kind of like that universalist, you know, new age, what all those, you know, things, you know, I mean, they, you know, about angels, you know. But in the church, you know, I haven't heard it talked about much in years. But folks, angels are present all through the Bible. Angels are everywhere. And if angels are everywhere in the Bible, think of this. And secondly, if God says, I sent an angel before you to do two big things, keep you in the way and to bring you into the place I prepared, then we've got to know that those angels are very important. So at least we ought to give them some thought, some attention, some pondering. And so here's what I thought about that. You ready for this? God said, I sent an angel. Well, there are angels, plural, with us all the time. If you study the scripture about angels, the Bible said in Psalm 91, he gives his angels, plural, charge over. In other words, that we, you know, that lest we dash our foot against a stone. So there are, it's just a fact. Look in scripture. This is not some pie in the sky. There are a multiple number of angels that are assigned to us that go with us wherever we go. You may not acknowledge that or be aware of it, but it's true. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Who knows how many times there has been danger averted that you never knew anything about, and it's because God has assigned angels to you. Hallelujah. Now, we do serve Jesus, our master. We do not serve angels. We don't give them the attention that Jesus only deserves. But let me tell you something. We need to acknowledge how important our angels are. But then I thought about this. It's significant that he said, I send an angel before you. It's interesting, singular, he said, I send an angel before you. And it dawned on me that this angel is different than all those angels that are sent to accompany us and, you know, they avert danger and help us and aid us in who knows how many ways that are with us right now. They're there with you right now. This angel is different. Those angels are with us, aiding us. God said, I send this angel before you. He's not my, this angel for me, he's not even here with me right now. This angel God has sent before me. I like that. He's in another day. He's a day ahead or a week ahead or a month. Who knows what? What is he doing? It says he's doing various activities that are related to when I get there at that point where he is now, that the way will be clear, the obstacles removed, the path made a way for a path for me to move clearly and stay in the, keep in the way, and secondly, to inherit what God has promised me. It blows my mind when I think about that, that I have an angel. Now look, I mean, this is a principle, that there are angels that God assigns ahead of us, you know, to fight battles, to remove obstacles in a place that we don't even know about yet. We don't even know we're going to face yet. Isn't that fascinating? And then it all of a sudden dawned on me, listen to this. He said, this angel is assigned to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I have prepared. And it all of a sudden hit me that this angel is different than just the angel that is assigned to us day by day. This angel is a mission angel. This angel is only activated in your life when you are accepting an assignment in your life. The title of my message today is Assistance for Your Assignment. Many times people will pray for assistance. Oh, God, help me. What we need to pray for is not assistance. We need to pray for assignment. Oh, y'all didn't really get that today. But anyway, in other words, God sends an angel before us, before the person who is activated, doing an assignment for God, engaging and using the gifts and abilities God's given you in a way that you hear the voice of the Lord telling you to go and to use them. And when you step out in faith and say, God, I'm not just going to be a seat warmer in church. I'm not just going to sit here on Sunday and warm a seat and receive and be blessed. But God, I'm going to be on assignment for you. I'm going to take and turn this thing around where all that you've done for me, I'm going to use it to do it for others. Are you with me now? And what I'm saying is when you turn that around like that and accept assignment, then supernatural assistance automatically comes with the assignment. Hallelujah. I like that. Isn't that good? Good preaching, Brother Rick. Thank you. I think I'll go on. No, I like that stuff. It just blesses me. Because, you know, I've noticed this in my own life down through the years. I've seen so much supernatural assistance in my life, but it's all been related to my forward motion in stepping out and using what God has put in me to help and bless others. Somebody say amen. Now, I know some of you, a lot of you new here, you know, since, you know, I pastored this church for 36 years, started, Don and I started in 1980. Listen to this. Thank you for those two hand claps. God bless you. My fan club will meet in the phone booth afterwards. Listen, and then now, in the last few years now, it's turned over to my son and daughter-in-law and Josh, Pastor Josh and Tori. And I know that now you who've come since then, you're used to Pastor Josh preaching, and you're not used to my kind of, you know, out-of-the-box, gregarious, out-there style. But I will tell you this, listen, it's very holy. And so, amen? Now, listen to this. So God gives supernatural assistance for those who will accept assignment. It's as simple as this. You know, there's this whole move in the church, and kind of in the world, it's in the world, this whole kind of me world, you know, do whatever I want to do, whatever blesses me. And then the church has adopted that to where there becomes this kind of consumer mentality where that, you know, I come to church because I get blessed. And certainly you are to come to get blessed and to be ministered to. But the reason we're part of a church is not just a service. A church is not just a Sunday morning service. That's not what a church is. A church is a spiritual family. That's why you keep hearing these guys get up here and Pastor Josh and all the rest of them talking about, you know, the echoing, what is it? Counter, dwell. So dwell together in love, right? And about how important it is. You know, Pastor Matt said a while ago, one of the things we love here is people. When he said that, I thought, what else do you love? Peanut butter? Peanut butter, people, peanut butter. People is all there is. And church is a spiritual family. You with me? Church is a spiritual family. And so, listen, this mentality that the church has adopted from the world that, you know, that I come to church, you know, just because, you know, because it blesses me is not enough. If you end with that mentality, you end up becoming a reservoir that is stopped up and you will become a rancid pool of water. You know, poisoned, tainted. Are y'all listening to me today? It's the way our lives are meant to be lived, receiving in, or let's put it this way, receiving in from heaven and then automatically flowing out to the world around us. Letting what God pours in, to whom much is given, much is required. Jesus said, as you've received freely, freely give. You with me? So my point is simply this. The supernatural assistance is given for assignment. And many times, because this mentality in our world today, in the church today, you know, that what happens is that people are looking for the assistance. They're looking, God bless me without the assignment. And they don't understand. They don't understand that it doesn't work that way. With every promise of God, there is always a prerequisite. There's always something God requires us. In Deuteronomy 28, God says this. He said, if you will diligently hearken to my voice and obey my commands, if you will do that, he said, then I will bless you in the city. I'll bless you in the field. I'll bless you in your cupboard. I'll bless you, bless you, bless you, bless. All those blessings will come. But he says, you've got to, first of all, receive this mission to let God flow out of you what he has flowed into you. Raise up, discover your gifts, find out how God's wired you and how you can plug in to a mighty team of believers to help touch this world around us. Because let me tell you something, we as an individuals and we as a church here, we only validate our being here by how much we affect the world around us. Thank you for your tremendous response. That went over like a lead balloon. All right. Having said that, watch this. So, whether it's that angel that's on a mission angel or the angels of surroundings, really I want to take this in a broader sense. I want to take for the next rest of this, and I want to broaden this to talk about just supernatural assistance, period. God gives us grace, right? You know what grace is? You know, in other words, you don't have to work in your own human effort to try to be what God wants you to be. Thank God. God doesn't leave you to yourself to grind this thing out and overcome every problem with your own human energy. This whole Christian life is designed to live being empowered. It's kind of like putting, you know, I love it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. When it talks about the gifts, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. And do you know what that word spirituals mean there, spiritual gifts? What the word is, it's the Greek word pneumaticos. It's where we get the word pneumatic, like a pneumatic tool. You know what a pneumatic tool is? Like a nail gun. You know, and am I right, guys? You're a carpenter, you plug a nail gun into the socket. It has to have a power source. And then as that power source pours energy into that nail gun, there's am I doing this right? It forces air. Some of y'all are laughing at me right now. You carpenters are laughing at me. Is it force air? Is that what it does? Right? Okay, it forces air. And when the trigger is pulled, are y'all with me now? That's called a pneumatic tool. A pneumatic tool. And it's so fascinating to me that he calls the spiritual gifts God gives us pneumaticos, which means they operate the same way. They come by the breath of God, the air of God, the breath of God blowing into our lives through our daily prayer time and reading of the Word and spending time with God. God blows into us. And as we step out and pull the trigger of obedience and get on mission with God, accept assignment, then what happens is that breath that blows into us, God flows out of us. Every problem we have to deal with, there's a pneumaticos that God that is in us, the graces and the gifts of God to overcome every issue in our life. Somebody shout amen, huh? But here's the deal. The thing is this kind of assistance is conditional. It's conditional. Number one, it's conditional on this. Look at this part of the scripture we read. He says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. This statement, which I have prepared, jumped out at me, and I began to notice that these angels are not assigned to bring you into the place you have prepared. They're to bring you into the place he has prepared. Did you see that? He said, this angel will bring you into the place I have prepared. In other words, you know, this whole thing of a... hear preachers, you know, say, come to Jesus and he'll make all your dreams come to pass. And I want to shout out and say, it's a lie. The Bible never does tell us that you come to Jesus and give your life to him and he'll make all your dreams come to pass. I mean, it's twisted somewhat. See, everything has been bent toward and twisted toward a man-centered gospel instead of a God-centered gospel. Even when we talk about the blessings of God, the grace of God upon life, the provision, the protection of God, all of it, even when we talk about those blessings we receive, really in the end, it's not about us, it's about him. It's so we can receive from him, so we can be used of him, so we can bear fruit, so we have something to bring glory back to him and honor his name. Ultimately, it's not about me. And you know what? Let me tell you, we need more preaching like this where people understand that preaching this kind of stuff, that it's not about me, it's about God, is not a depressing sermon. It's not something we go away and say, oh boy, you know, it's not about me. What we must understand is that when we understand that everything we do is to bring glory and honor to our Maker, we also understand that in doing that, the giving the glory back to God or doing things in His name for His honor actually ends up completing us, satisfying us, and making us whole. We're the happiest when we are the most surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. You get that? Because the truth of the matter is, folks, you wouldn't want God to fulfill all your dreams anyway. If God fulfilled all of your dreams you've had in life anyway, you would end up at a place that you never intended to go to. You would end up getting what you never intended to get, because it's our nature that we see in part and know in part. And so we have these dreams that are tainted by our partial eyesight and knowledge. And we think that's what we want. We don't. When we come to Jesus, God doesn't fulfill all our dreams. When we come to Jesus and lay our life at the foot of the cross, God begins to mess with us and start dealing with our motives, start dealing with our priorities, and God starts changing and pulling out stuff out of us until all of a sudden those old dreams that weren't God's will in the first place start coming out of us, and God starts stuffing new dreams in us that are in line with His will. And He ends up not fulfilling our dreams. He ends up fulfilling His dream for us. And the beautiful thing is, when He does, He fulfills His dream for us, we end up becoming excited, because when God's dream becomes my dream, it is actually my dream being fulfilled, because my dream is not my dream. My dream is God's dream. Did y'all get that? That was deep right there, I'm telling you. Don't ask me to repeat it, though. Isn't that beautiful? I love that kind of talk. Wouldn't we live for our, God bless me. There's this whole mentality. Oh, Jesus, I won't go there. Let's go on. He says that this angel is designed to bring you into the place that God has prepared. Make up your mind that you're not just going to be a Christian that's like forgiven of your sins, got your ticket to heaven, but you're going to be one of those fruitful Christians that when you die and you stand before Jesus, that He can say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Where you've got something to give to Him in that day and rejoice in Him. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Because the thing is this. It's only when God brings you into the place He's prepared for you that His provision is there. Many times people are looking for God's provision, but they're not in God's place. I'm not talking necessarily about a geographical place. It could be a financial place. It could be a relational place. It could be who knows what. It could be spiritual. It's so fascinating. You remember the story of Elijah and how that there was a drought, and in this drought there was no food, of course, and no water. And God tells Elijah, He told Elijah, He said, "Elijah, go down to the brook Cherith." And He said, "There," everybody shout, "There." "There I shall feed you." And Elijah went down to the brook Cherith. He went there where God told him to go. Where God told him to go is where God fed him. He said, "If you go there, I will feed you." And Joshua went there and God fed him. And when I thought about that, the thought hit me that many times people never find their help or their assistance because their help is over here and they're over here. We cry out, "God, why aren't you helping me?" God says, "I am, but your help is over here and you're over there." Are you listening to me now? In other words, listen, it's so interesting that many Christians will, many people will try to claim the promises of God. God, you said that you'd take care of me and my kids. Lord God, I pray for your blessing. And they try to claim the promises without going there to the place God has called them to. They want to claim the promise. God, please help me. Meet my need. God, help. Protect my kids. Do all that. We want all that protection and provision. But God says, if you want that, all of that is at a place called there. What is the place called there? It's the place where you have resigned yourself to the fact that I am no longer going to argue with God anytime he tells me to do anything. Y'all listen to me now. I am not, if God's messing with my attitude, I'm not going to resist him. I'm going to say, God, come on, do it. Come on, help me. I need this. Get this out of me. I'm not going to excuse things anymore. I'm not just going to kind of just glide along. I am going to actively ask God, as the psalmist did, God, search me and know me and see if there's any wicked way in me. Y'all, listen, what a statement. What an embrace that is, where you embrace. It's not you said, you know, I have Christians tell me all the time, say, I say, how you doing? They say, oh boy, God's really messing with me about something. God's dealing with me. You know, like God's doing it, but they're not happy about it. I say, come on, you need to get an attitude check. You need to get a checkup from the neck up. If God's messing with you, you ought to be happy. The thing you should be scared of is if God leaves you alone. I tell God for years, I've told God, I said, God, mess with me, deal with me, judge me, chastise me, whatever you want to do, just don't leave me alone. I'd rather be in the hands of God than to be in the hands of man. If it's judgment time, I don't want man judging me. Man will judge me not for my benefit, but for his benefit. God judges me for my benefit. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? Well, I like it anyway. Isn't that good? You were to embrace. I'm serious about this. I learned to embrace. God, search me. In other words, I'm crying out, God, do it. Do it to me. God, mess with me. See if there's anything in me. Why in the world would a normal human being do that? Because there's another powerful principle that's laid out in this passage that is very important, as it has to do with angelic activity in our life. If you want supernatural assistance, you have to cooperate with God in this area. Let's look at this passage. Let's look at this passage in Exodus 23, verses 28 through 30. Look at this. Now watch this. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. Watch this. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. Now that's significant. Watch it. Why does he say, I won't drive them out for you in 1 year? He said, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. What does that mean? But he says this, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. So we see, first of all, God won't drive them all of our enemies out in one time, but he does it little by little for this reason. Until we increase and inherit the land God has for us. What does all that mean? Y'all still with me today? What does all that mean? Oh, this is exciting. Look at this. I love this. When we come to God, give our lives to Christ, we get born again. God saves us. We're forgiven, made right with God's Spirit. We're all brand new. But listen, all the stuff that's messed with our life in the past, all of our baggage emotionally, spiritually, all of our baggage, all kinds of baggage mentally, is still hanging on us. And what God is saying here, see, this is an Old Testament type of the dealings of God in our life. God is saying, this is how I deal with you. And that is that when you come to Christ and get born again, you ever notice that you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but you ever notice that God does not drive out all your enemies at one time? It's contrary to this crazy idea that I hear sometimes in an altar call where preachers will say, come to Jesus and he'll make everything beautiful. All of your life will turn around and all your problems will go away and you'll be happy the rest of your life. It's not quite like that, but something like that. God will do it all. And I ask myself the question, is that really true? Is that true? No, it's not true. It's not true at all. Anybody who's honest with themselves absolutely knows it's not true. When you got saved, you knew you're still a mess. Let me try it over here. When you got saved, you know you're still a mess. What's that all about? God didn't change at all. He didn't drive out all your enemies in one time. Now, he did give you the unction, the power of his Holy Spirit to deal with the problems. But he did not drive them out for you. He does it little by little. Little by little. Why? So that you may increase. And so that ultimately you can inherit the land. Inherit what God's called you to do. And I begin to think about this. It's exactly the way the Christian life works. That we're born again. You see, salvation, listen to this. Salvation is instant. Boom. But sanctification is a process that takes a lifetime. You see, forgiveness happens all at once, but freedom takes a lifetime. If you're born again, right now, you're right with God, you cannot be any more loved by God than you are right now. You're absolutely accepted and loved by God, but it doesn't mean you're free. It doesn't mean you're mature. That means you've driven out these enemies. Now, so the deal is this. Why does God leave stuff in our life? I thought about that. You ever thought about that? Why doesn't God just take it away all at once? Well, first of all, he says this. He said, if I did, he said one thing that happened is the land would become desolate. What that is speaking of, it's a type that is saying to us, your life would quit bearing fruit. Are you with me now? In other words, God is ultimately not just about blessing you. He's about making you fruitful. And in being fruitful, you will get blessed. But he said, if I drove out all your enemies at one time, you know all that junk that messes with your head and your emotions and all that stuff, you know, everything that deals with you relationally and all this junk. He said, if I mess, or even addiction, some kind of patterns of behavior that maybe you've been messing with and struggling with for years. He said, if I took that all away at one time, he said, the ground would become barren in your life. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why is that so? You know why it's so? It's because one of the main reasons we stay fruitful in God, one of the main reasons we grow and we get strengthened and increase is because we constantly are aware of the weaknesses and the flaws in our own life. And it's the junk inside of us that keeps us desperate and keeps us at the foot of the cross. You get that? Some people say, well, look, I would be fruitful. If God took everything away from me at one time, all the stuff that messes with me, I mean, I would be fruitful because I would just spend all my time out there just advancing the kingdom. And I challenge you, are you smarter than what the Bible says here? I want to tell you this. It's only your weaknesses The stuff you see in yourself that you don't like, that you don't want to be there. You say, oh, that's not me. I wish that was. That's the stuff that keeps you on your face before God. And my point is this, if you can accept this, that some of that stuff is on purpose. Are you with me? Sometimes your problems are actually your protection. Oh, y'all aren't buying that one, I can tell right now. And we just, oh, I love this. It's seeing our weaknesses in ourselves, our shortcomings, this stuff that we think, oh, God, I should be better than that. Even if you get along down the line, you start even talking about prayer. Oh, I don't pray enough, or I don't, this, you know, or I still got this anger issue, or, you know, attitude. Oh, I don't know why I still got it. It's that kind of stuff that keeps us at the foot of the cross. Are you with me now? Now, the thing is this. God doesn't leave it there to lie there. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. God doesn't leave it there in order to lie there. He leaves it there for you to deal with. Because by you dealing with it, with the power of the Spirit that's in you, you'll not only overcome the problem or the issue, but you will grow and increase in the process. And God, we're more interested in the blessing than we are the increase. God's more interested in the increase than he is the blessing. We want God to increase our blessings. He's wanting to increase us. Are y'all listening to me? In other words, let me say it another way. You ready? In other words, we are always waiting for God to show up. He's waiting for us to grow up. And let me tell you something. And every bit is, like I said, you got to turn this around and understand. Even the growing up. If we say, okay, God's not interested so much on just showing up. In other words, showing up meaning take our problem away, give us the miracle. He's interested in growing up. And what we've got to understand is the beauty and the fulfillment and satisfaction in our life actually comes from the growing up, not the God showing up. It's not God showing up and giving us a miracle that causes us to grow. It's through those barren times when it seems like God's nowhere around and we've got to cling to the foot of the cross and say, God, I need you. That's when we grow up. Hallelujah. So God doesn't leave it there to lie there. What do we do? Well, listen to this. This is a fascinating passage. And I'm trying to wind this down. And if you promise me that you won't tell Pastor Josh that I preach too long. But look at this. Come on. Tell me more. Yeah. Okay. Just a few more and I'll go on. Thank you. I heard you, Jesse. All right. Now watch this. Watch this. I'm winding down. You ready? Why does God leave this stuff in us? This is so interesting. Look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. You remember this is a story when Paul had that thorn in the flesh? Look what it says. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, this is so fascinating. You ready for this? Watch this. Paul has this great revelation. And he has this great assignment, the great apostle Paul. Man, he's blowing it up. I mean, boom, man. One city after another, he's breaking them open, planting churches. Who's like Paul? The man of faith and power for the hour. And lo and behold, Paul said, hey, I got to tell you something. You know all that great stuff God's doing to me? I got to tell you something. God left something in me. He said, there's a thorn in the flesh. God left something. Everybody said, God left something. Now, why would God leave something? Now, you can argue over what it is, you know, and where it came from and all. That's not the issue to me. The issue is it was left. God left it. He didn't take it away. And Paul cried out to him three times, God, take it from me. How many of y'all prayed those prayers? God, please take it from me. And then you cry out after a while, why doesn't God take it from me? Can he take it from me? I don't want this. Tell God to take it from me. And I'm going to tell them, God is not going to take it from you. He will not take from you what he has given you the power to deal with yourself. Now, I'm not talking about human energy, but he's given his supernatural assistance. That's what God was saying when he said, my grace is. Three times Paul came and said, God, take it away. Three times God says, my grace is sufficient. Y'all know my definition of grace, right? My definition of grace is God's empowering presence to be who God has called me to be and to do what God has called me to do. So grace is not just some kind of favor or, you know, kind of mercy, you know, God not giving me what I deserve. Grace is an empowering presence of God to enable us to walk this walk and live this life. Are you really? And God says, my grace, my empowering presence is sufficient for you to deal with this, Paul. Isn't that powerful? And what is beautiful is this. Here's what you need to understand. God leaves this, and as Paul deals with it, as he uses the power of God, the grace of God in him to deal with it and conquer it, then not only does he get rid of it eventually, but he increases in the process. But why did God leave this? It's so interesting. Do you notice what he said? He said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, lest I be exalted above measure. Now listen to this. It was because of pride. God, listen to this. God leaves stuff in us for us to deal with by his power, because it's that stuff that keeps us grounded in grace. If we were able to grow and go on in prayer and the word and fruitfulness and changing the world without having any issues personally to deal with, ultimately, inevitably, we would be lifted up in pride. And don't anybody tell me you wouldn't. You would. It is the human condition. Pride is our primary problem. You could disguise it as self-confidence, boldness, but it's pride. Pride is any time, you ready for this? Pride is any time we do anything and we take any of the credit, even without saying it, just emotionally, for what belongs to God. The glory belongs to him. And any of his glory we touch, we become lifted up in pride. Isn't that powerful? So Paul says, God has given me something here that messes with me in my life, and it's keeping me at the foot of the cross, man. It keeps me crying out day and night for God. And what it's doing is it's keeping me humble, because these great revelations I've got, they're so great. He said, I could get lifted up by those. He says, but I don't, because I got this other junk in me that I'm messing with. Y'all listen to me now. Now listen to this. I love this. Do you notice in this passage in Exodus that we read, he says that he didn't destroy the enemies at one time because lest the ground become barren and also lest the beasts become too numerous for them. And I thought about what in the world does that mean? Well, if you look at the history behind that, historians tell us, you ready for this? That in the promised land, there were many wild beasts, but far more numerous and menacing of all the beasts in the promised land were what? You know what they were? They were lions. It was lions more than anything else that they had to worry about. The Hivites, Jebusites, all the otherites, they already knew how to deal with them. These Israelites had no idea how to deal with them yet. These lions. And God is saying to them, the reason I don't drive this all your enemies out one time is because if I did, you wouldn't know how to deal with these lions. Now, let me ask you a question. You ready for this? Oh, I like this. How many of you know what a group of lions together is called? Shout it out if you know. What's a group of lions? Say it. Pride. It hit a pride. A pride. He said, if I drove out all your enemies at one time, he said, pride would become too numerous for you to conquer in your life. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So I close with this. Can I tell you this? Lest any of you wonder about this, can I tell you, Christians, look at the person next to you on either side. Look at them on the other side. Ready? Look at them. Look at them. And I want to tell you this. You don't need to worry about them. You don't need to judge them. Are you with me now? You don't need to mess with them. You don't need to try to keep them humble. God has left stuff in them. You may not know about it, but they do, and God knows. And it's keeping them on their knees before God. Are you with me? Because ultimately, the way God works is we must decrease so he can increase. When our knees go out down, Jesus rises up. Come on, give the Lord a big praise in this place. Hallelujah. Come on. All right, isn't that beautiful? I just sense God moving in this place among people. Let me kind of say this to you, for any who may not understand this, really this sermon has been designed today to help you to understand, you ready for this? To help you to understand that you're normal. There's not anything wrong with you that's not wrong with everybody else. It may display itself differently, but you're normal. This message is designed to tell you, just relax in the arms of God and let him work in your life. And then when you see, you don't have to go hunting for stuff. When you see stuff crop up in your life, it's God revealing it to you. And then you take and you get on your knees and you cry out to God. And you cry out until you conquer that thing in your life. Because in conquering it, it's not just conquering the issue or the sin. It's about building your spiritual muscles to make you stronger. So you can ultimately, listen to this, be brought into the land that God has prepared for you. Fulfill what God's called you. God is calling this church to, I think, there's always been a great call in this church. But you know what? I'm just telling you, I'm so excited about this season. To me, this season here in the church, we're in, I don't know if you know it. I think there are a number of you that recognize it. Maybe some of you don't. There's something going on here underneath the surface. It's like there's a stirring. There's a bubbling. And God is preparing this church, I think, for a breakout season. I've seen it happen with other churches many times. You go along for a few years, you know, and just things are kind of like on a plane. And then all of a sudden, boom. God starts giving new plans, you know, shifting, adjusting things, and he prepares you to break out into a whole new realm. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that's going to happen. But you know what? Listen to me. The number one important thing for that to happen, what God is saying to this church, is every person that belongs to this church must come to a place where they're saying, God, I'm not going to be here just to be a consumer, but I want you to use me. Show me my, God, help me find my gifts and plug into the place that you've called me to do. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet with me, if you will.
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.